Welcome to the Happiness Happens podcast. I'm Simona Nicole, host of the show, mindset coach, and motivational speaker. I've made it my mission to help you get unstuck, shift your mindset, and understand your worth to help you live your most purposeful life. Each week, I will bring you an idea, guest, or a positive thought that will leave you inspired and empowered to win your life. We decide the stories we tell ourselves and where we invest our energy. I'm so grateful you popped in. Now let's dive in. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode on the Happiness Happens podcast. This one is going to be such a treat. It is such a fun time, and I'm so excited I can hardly contain it. Becca, just so you know, when I was about to hop on here and start this recording, I looked at the time and it was 5:55, and I was like, of course it is. Of course it would be the divine timing. So for everyone who doesn't know Becca yet, which if you don't, then you probably should, today on the show we have Becca Comer, and she is a spiritual business coach and podcast host of the Follow Your Heart podcast. She helps lightworkers, starseeds, and coaches grow their online coaching business through Instagram. She was a successful corporate and saleswoman who reached financial success only to find herself unhappy and burnt out, leading her to spirituality. She empowers others to use their unique gifts to create their own success from a place of love and alignment through her course, Passion to Profit, and working with one-on-one clients. So Becca, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you. I'm excited to be on the show, and I love your energy.
Oh, I just lost you for a hot second. That's okay.
Think you're back. I'm back. This is the perks of being a digital nomad and working in Central America, guys.
Exactly. And honestly, I don't really edit anything on these episodes, so it'll come in, it'll go out, and it is what it is. Just so everybody knows how Becca and I met, Becca was my coach for a few months and helped me grow so massively, so insane, and opened my eyes to so many different things. So having you on the show today is so fun for me and so incredible, and I'm really excited that you're here.
I'm excited to be here. It's just amazing to see how things progress, and just like, it's so amazing to trust how we're like intuitively drawn to people and how things evolve over time, and watching you just blossom so much since we first met. And you've been such an inspiration for me in so many ways too. So I'm excited to see like what comes out of us in this interview and what we're able to share with all of you guys listening too. Oh,
I know, it's going to be so, like, I'm just really excited because it's going to be so good. To sort of help us dive into this episode, could you just tell us a little bit about the journey that's brought you to where you are today?
Yes.
You know, condensed in like 2 seconds. No.
2 seconds.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh my gosh. I was going to say intuition.
Okay. The
there you go. Just follow your heart. Follow your intuition. Let's see if I can like hone in on my story as it evolves, and I think depending on how I'm feeling and who I'm speaking to, my story does differ. But in a nutshell, my college career, I studied, like, you know, I went to college after high school, blah, 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 or if you want to say university, depending on where you live. I studied marketing, and it was heavily focused on sales, and this was in California. And I naturally started to get into, I was a really driven person. I was always really into like business and finance. And like, I remember writing a report when I was like 10 years old that I wanted to be like a successful businesswoman, carry a briefcase. I don't know like what, like,
how cute are you?
Yeah, a little bit about, right? I don't know why, but it's just like a part of my life mission. And so after university, I got into like corporate America and worked in a big Fortune 500 company called KPMG and did consulting. And I took the job out of college mostly because it had a 50-50 chance of me being able to live in Hawaii and work on a project. So I was like, yes, sign me up. And so I lived the lavish life in Hawaii and learned a lot, but I just was not filled. I was working a lot, although I loved the weekends where I like really started to like explore and hike and get healthy and fit and started to work on myself. I was also partying and drinking a lot still. And so one thing led to another, I ended up back home in California and then found myself in a sales jobs later. I was really, really under high stress, making a ton of money. I'm talking like well over $250,000 at the peak, but literally had no time for myself. And I was just always really tired and stressed out. And had let go of everything, like my health and like my relationship was struggling with my partner at the time and seemed making money and my job. That was like my rock bottom, where from there I like started listening to podcasts all the time when I was driving around for work. And that opened me up to the idea of starting my own business. It was mostly because I wanted to escape from my current reality, but it inspired me and planted the seed that, like, one, I wanted to be a coach of some sort and I wanted to be an entrepreneur. So this is a really long 2-second story, but literally business sales led to spirituality. Spirituality led to me being a spiritual business coach, where I am.
Amazing. And you're in Nicaragua right now, right?
Yes.
Amazing. Yeah. It's interesting that you're saying, yeah, you know, your rock bottom was in, you know, a job where you're making so much money. And, you know, a lot of people would look at that and be like, oh my God, that's success. Like, you've made all this money, like you've made it. But for you, it was the complete opposite.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because, like, I can trust that everything happens for a reason. I need to go through that experience to be able to now serve people from more of an aligned space. And I still, it's interesting. It's like, I think success is measured by different things, right? So like at one point I say like, yeah, that was a level of success and I'm so proud of everything I accomplished. But then also it's like, it made me figure out what really were my values in life. And I thought it was like, success was money, but really it was having the freedom, which I thought money was freedom. Mm-hmm. And it really ended up not being. So like, yeah. It's interesting because I think there's different ways of looking at it. I think I was successful and also I was really not successful depending on what I defined as success.
That's such a good point. That makes so much sense. And it's a really good point because success is defined by so many different things. And a lot of the time I think that what happens is we get all these like societal pressures and conditionings that tell us that we have to live and do and be this specific person or this specific way or take this specific path. And then we kind of wake up one day, if you're lucky enough to wake up one day and realize that, you know, this isn't aligned to you and it's not what you want to be doing with your life and it's not what you envision for yourself. And then, you know, then you have tons of people who wake up 20 years down the road and are so unhappy and don't know why. And it's crazy.
Right. And I guess there's no, like, it's interesting because I've connected with so many people on social media and Instagram where, like, you say wake up. And if you're listening, I'm sure a lot of you guys are familiar with that term. Like, it could be waking up to, like, a new way of living, a new way of seeing, a new belief system. Or it could be, like, for me, a lot of people I support and a lot of people I work with are on a spiritual path. And so it could really be, like, waking up to these new spiritual gifts that may not be something that's understood by the mind, but is something that's more of a feeling or energetic frequency. And so I love connecting with people. And even my mom is the prime example of waking up in her mid-50s. And I've met so many other women and people through Instagram that have woken up much later. And my message to you, it's never too late. It's always the perfect time whenever, if you feel like you're behind and you meet someone that's like, you know, 5 years younger than you and on the path that's further along, like your timing is perfect.
Oh, I love that. That's such an important message to remind everyone of. And if you think about, you know, all these people that you get to meet and all these people that you get to help and the people that, you know, you're coaching and working with, what's like one of the places that you see people starting with the most? Does that make any sense? Like, where do you see them start on their journey the most?
And is that to starting their journey of being an entrepreneur or just like a different path in life?
I think like the different path in life.
I've seen it like go a couple different avenues. A lot of the time I've seen people start out with like more of the health avenue. They're wanting to suddenly better themselves. And typically it starts with the physical, being our body, our diets, and sometimes the mental, where we start to listen to podcasts and we're like eager to learn new things, especially after being out of an education system. So for some people that's after high school or university, where suddenly it's like, oh wow, I'm literally just watching Netflix and I'm gaining weight and I'm going out and drinking, spending all my money and going to work and doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. And this is my life forever, right? At that point, people are like, oh, I need to do something different. And so then they start seeking. And so, yeah, I've seen a lot. And my path was health and fitness, and that led to meditation, spirituality. Other people, it's not even that. It's just like they start reading self-help books or meditating, and suddenly they go on this path of curiosity.
I love that. I think that was more of my path. Yeah.
Which one?
The second one. It wasn't so much for me. I don't know why. It's never, I think because I've always just been, you know, I've always kind of just integrated fitness in my own way into my life. But it wasn't until, it's interesting that you say that though, because it wasn't until I started in on this, like started on this path and really dove into like the self-help books and the podcasts and, you know, the different ways we can shift our mindset and understanding limiting beliefs and how they hold us back. I never liked myself until that point. Didn't matter the way that I looked or anything like that, but I didn't like myself because
yeah.
I was so unhappy. And so even trying to like go to the gym, for example, never really felt like, I don't know, like it had a purpose to it because I was like, well, whatever, it's not going to really change anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes. I can totally relate to that. I think so many people still on the self-help path or it's never enough in order to reward ourselves versus just love ourselves at where we are now. And from that space, strive to become the best version of ourselves.
Ooh, I love that. Some of that cut out when you were saying it, but I think you were essentially just saying like, you know, stepping into your path and like following it and mm-hmm. that'll always sort of be, you end up where you're meant to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And loving yourself for where you are now versus trying to change yourself constantly.
That's so important. How has it been traveling for the last few months? How has that changed your life? Are you ever coming home? I'm just kidding.
I don't know if I've updated you. I mean, we talk like every week and I don't even know. Well, like my home is now wherever I am, which is an interesting, fun, new change in my life. Very, very new. So for those of you that don't know me or follow me, I lived in the U.S. and grew up in California and most recently lived in Portland, Oregon. And I planned on going to Costa Rica with a good friend for 5 weeks in January. This was before quarantine and COVID and all of that happened. And before I started traveling, I had a feeling that, and for those of you guys that follow like more spiritual terminology, I had intuitive nudge, a message, many messages that I needed to pack up and move, like all of my stuff. So my car, like I had a house and rented out and I was too afraid. So I was like, I'll be back. It's fine in 5 weeks. And then I realized that I wanted to travel longer and then COVID happened. So I decided to stay in Central America in Nicaragua. And I forgot what your question was even. I just started telling the story.
No, I love it. It's totally aligned. It's totally aligned. How has traveling changed your life?
Oh my gosh. It's provided so many new lessons. Of course, traveling does. And it's different when like I've become now like a digital nomad, a worldwide citizen. It's changed my life in the fact that one, it's like really, really forced me to let go of attachments to things at even a new level because I'm constantly working on myself and my inner work. And I truly wanted to be free of attachment to possessions. Mm. And I think right now, even with like quarantine and everything going on in the planet, that it's like that's happening to people even at home, right? We don't have access to like going to Whole Foods and like going to see our friends and like attachment to like what life needs to be in possessions of like toilet paper, like, yeah. Right? Oh. So it's happening to me too as I'm traveling. And I've put myself in situations like living in a spiritual community, a permaculture where like I was living in a tent for a month and not having attachment to running water, like not running water, but a toilet that flushes and soap and plastic and containers. Like I let go of so much of that. So there's so many things I've learned as I've traveled and environments I've put myself in while I traveled. I could go on for like hours just about that topic.
I know. And I could talk to you all day about it because I don't know. I think this one part of me, like just, I love to travel and I love to go and explore and see things. And I think that you learn so much because there's so much that the world has to offer. You know what I mean? And it doesn't have to be just this one specific thing and one specific place that you live for your whole life if that's not what you want. And if it is what you want, then that's totally fine too, right? Like, you live your life in the way that you want it. But I had also asked, I also asked if you're ever coming home. Well, you said home is where you are, but are you ever coming back to the U.S.?
That's right.
And then you said I didn't update you. And
I will, yeah. Like, my intention, like, it once, of course, as, like, law of attraction works, if you guys believe in that, I'm a big advocate of manifestation, law of attraction. As soon as I surrendered and decided I am going to not go back to Oregon and to live in another country, like, my family and friends all helped me, like, fix everything of my house. So that way, like, literally one of my tenants became my property manager while I was remote and helped me move and put my bedroom up for rent, and my mom and my family helping me sell my car. So, like, literally everything is, like, figuring itself out at home as I'm in another country, and it's allowing me to live here in Nicaragua. And then wherever else I want to go after that, I don't have a quote unquote home base anymore.
Ooh, it's so exciting.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I have literally, guys, I wanted this, like, 2 years ago, and I was too afraid to do it, and then it just, like, it happened without me even, like, having to really, really try. Obviously, I did the steps, and I took action, but it happened in a very organic way. It wasn't forced. But yeah, it's exciting, it's new, it's different, it's fun, it's a roller coaster.
I love it. Has it been hard, you know, stepping into and really owning your spiritual side and your new path mixed with your business? Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that question. I don't think I've been asked that. Good one.
You're so welcome.
In the beginning, yes. It was like coming out of the spiritual closet, even though I shared it with my friends in a little bit, I didn't think I could integrate the two with, like, business and spirituality. And it was in the beginning, I think there was a lot of fear that it wouldn't work. And as soon as I owned it and shared, it's crazy that, like, in my world, I think it sounds like it's common. But every time I share what I do, people are like, oh, that's such a good idea. Or, wow, that's amazing. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess people don't really approach business from a spiritual perspective and embrace both. Like, I meditate with my clients, and I do, like, grounding visualizations, manifestation in my sales calls. And I use energy and practice Reiki and spirit guides, like, all these other things, but then also talk business and finance and money. So.
It was
definitely hard and scary in the beginning, and now it just becomes so a part of me and my business that, like, I feel like there is no other way of doing it.
That's so true. And I mean, your business really is always an extension of you. And so however you shift and however you change, so does your business, right? And so do, you know, the connections that you make with other people.
Right. And you've seen my transformation of me evolve even from when we first started working back in, I don't know what, November?
Yeah.
When was that?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was November. Yeah.
And for you too. Like, you, slowly.
You opened up a new possibility for me. You opened up, like, a new way of looking at life and, you know, owning the part of myself that I had been denying for myself for so long. And I know that my spiritual journey it has so much more to go, but I do know about myself that I'm one of those people that very easily connects to source energy, very easily. Like, if I meditate, I'm up in the clouds in 2 seconds, and, you know, can sort of get that intuitive guidance and help my clients along with that. But if it wasn't for you, sort of, because I remember, I think we started coaching more, not the beginning of your spiritual journey, but you were just sort of testing out the waters with, like, meditating with clients and stuff like that. And I was so here for it because I was like, yes, like, this is, you know what I mean? It's like giving me the permission to also step into it. So by you stepping into your truth, you give other people the permission to step into theirs, which is so amazing.
Aww, thank you. And it's amazing how you were able to support me in that evolution too. Like, you were receiving of it. So it, like, empowered me to do more of that. So it's cool to hear, like, both sides, right? Like, of course it all works out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you for that feedback. See, this is what happens in business, guys. If you just, like, trust it and go with what excites you and what you're passionate about, it will work out. You'll find the clients. Okay, I found someone I wanted someone to support her in a different style of business, and she found me, or we were brought together, however you want to look at it.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And it's exactly what I needed at the time where I was. And so, you know, I think that's the thing. A lot of the time you can have so much fear and like blocks around investing in yourself, investing in your growth, investing in your journey. But when you stop looking at it as like, I'm paying this much for this, it stops becoming so scary. You know what I mean? And you get to learn, you get to grow. And I really don't think it's the same as paying for like an online course of something at a university. You know what I mean? Like I think it goes both ways.
Isn't that funny? Like we will in a heartbeat go into debt. I mean, I don't know how much it costs in Canada.
Oh, it's not as much as you guys, but.
I didn't even realize as I've been traveling more and talking to people about the cost of university. Like the US is insane. Like
it's nuts.
Yeah, like easily 40,000 in debt. And that's like on the low end. My sister went to law school and that was like 250,000 in debt.
Oh my
3 years after the initial like bachelor. So it just adds up and adds up. And people don't think twice about that. They think that's the only way. And we're like forced to think, yeah, you can invest in education that way. But if we want to invest other ways in a business, starting a business that will pay off in the future and even just our own personal development without thinking it means a result behind it besides feeling happy and more fulfilled, like that's scary for us.
It's
even
so
though it's a
true.
Nominal fee in comparison to university.
It's actually such a good point. And, you know, I think that, I mean, like I have so many thoughts around this because I've like personally, and I know you have as well, invested so much into all these so many different things. Do I regret any of it? No. You know what I mean? And sometimes like, I just, you know, it would be awesome if everyone could experience that too, but not everybody's always ready. So yeah.
Yes.
How would you define like living in true alignment with yourself?
Oh my gosh. Of course, literally right before this interview, I was preparing a presentation to speak in another mastermind for a friend, Savannah, you know her?
Yeah.
Shout out to the wild Savannah. And I was writing a slide about alignment. And of course, you'd be asking about this now. What does it mean? Like, I think everyone's definition may be slightly different. This is my perspective. Like, alignment is when you feel your best self and you don't feel resistance around you or in your life. So usually we'll feel out of alignment. It could be manifested emotionally, physically, or spiritually. Sometimes we feel out of alignment when we feel really tired and we're not usually tired, or we start having headaches. Or we feel some people have sadness, depression. It could get that when lost and confused, whatever. Things just happen for you and life is easy and fun.
I love
so
that.
So that's like for me what alignment is. And I look at it more from like a spiritual perspective. And I can go into that more, but what was the original question? I'm forgetting now.
That was it. No, that was okay. It. Like what is, how do you, like what does it mean to you to be living in alignment? Yeah. No, that was it. And then, you know, if you think about in terms of like the business world and the online coaching world, what's a tip that you could give to our listeners about launching in an aligned way or, you know, even running their business online in an aligned way? Online in an aligned way.
What online alignment.
Oh, God, what a sentence.
There's something there that could be a course, online alignment. There, I was writing down a couple points, and there's so many things I want to share, but a couple ways of being in alignment. One thing that's like really changed my life, and you know this, I talk about a lot, is human design. That really showed me who I am and how to live according to my design, not what other people are telling me to be or do. So as soon as I started experimenting, is literally just a big experiment for those of you that do or do not know human design. It's a system that was created over 30 years ago, but it's actually pulling from so many ancient wisdoms and tools like the Kabbalah tree of life, the I Ching, like energy chakras, astrology, oh goodness, so many other things. And so it's essentially like telling you who you are, like how to use your intuition, how to make decisions, your life purpose, your way of living, being, doing, thinking, all of it.
And Simona has an amazing human design chart, and I helped her like understand hers, and she got a reading from one of our friends, one of my coaches. And so that was like really showing me how to be in alignment with me. And as soon as I understood myself and how I best make decisions intuitively, and I was more able to like live in alignment, I was able to run my business from that perspective too. Because once again, like you said, you are your business. So I started to use my intuition, not only personally, but in my business. So, you know, if I was like working with, or maybe I was doing like sales outreach, I think with you, Simona, it was all energetic. So if I came across someone, I was doing like a hashtag search or whatever, I found someone's profile and I was like, intuitively, did I feel like, oh my gosh, this person, like I totally connect with and I feel so aligned with, like I feel like I could be best friends with them. There's something about their energy. I just love them. I'd want to hang out with them. That's alignment. And so through that space of excitement, I would reach out and send them energy through the screen of Instagram, which may sound weird to some of you, but like once you tap into energy, it's just everything becomes this big playing field of a feeling versus logic. And so that's one example of using alignment in your business, is really tapping into what feels good to you, using your own type of intuition, which depends upon if you follow human design, it can tell you all about how you, your intuition speaks to you directly. And it's different for everyone.
I love that so much. And human design is such a key point. It's actually funny that you mentioned that, because next week's episode is all about human design with Jessie.
Yay!
I'm so excited. She's the like literally the queen of human design. And so I'm really excited to have her on the show. So if you guys are curious about what human design is, next week we're going to dive all into it. And, you know, it's interesting because from learning about what human design is, I've started using it with my clients as well and integrating it into my one-on-one coaching with my clients, because it helps you understand people in a different way and helps you understand like the different things that influence them, how they, you know, receive information, how they make decisions. And yeah, it's so important. So I love so much that you brought that up. It's so important.
Oh, that's so awesome to hear. And there's so many tools you can use, like the Enneagram, the five love languages, astrology, numerology, life path number. Like I've gone down all of those paths and all of them supported me. And yet there's something different about human design which really resonated with me. And I'm not saying that's the only source of truth. I think all of those things help us understand each other and ourselves better. And realizing that what's interesting, the ultimate paradox is we're all unique and we're all the same.
Ooh, I love that. I love that so much. I want to quickly pause this interview and tell you about the Handel Group coaches that I've had the honor and privilege of bringing onto the Happiness Happens podcast. With every conversation and interview, I've learned something so impactful and so life-changing. Inner You Life is the online coaching course from Handel Group that gives you the tools to get yourself unstuck, wildly happy, and thriving where it matters most to you. Your relationship to yourself, career, love, body, money, time, and more. From wherever, whenever. Recommended by Hugh Jackman, Dr. Mark Hyman, Forrest Whitaker, Elena Brower, and hundreds more. Taught in MIT, Stanford School of Business, and 50 plus institutes of learning across the world. Visit inneryou.coach and use the code HAPPINESSHAPPENS at checkout for $75 off. Now, back to the episode. Okay, can we dive deeper into that? Can we dive deeper? We're sort of all the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm trying to feel into this because this is a very, there's so many different ways to explain this. And so from this is my perspective in this moment of now. And for some listening, this may not be the truth for you. And some of you, this may really resonate. So I asked for you to listen with your heart and not your mind. What I've done a lot of digging and soul searching along my path the last 3+ years. And as I understand the universe more and energy and the non-physical, and even science is starting to back this up and invest more time and energy and money into researching the non-physical, the inexplicable. There's this grand universe beyond just us as human beings, right? And it would be very egotistical, and our ego likes to think that we're all so special and humans are the greatest species and there's evolution and we just, whatever belief you have, that like we're the most important thing. But I believe there's much, something much bigger out there in play in the universe and energy and this grand creation that I truly believe that, like, from my perspective, God is in, within each and one of every one of us. So we are a reflection of God. We are a the same essence. And so from that aspect, we are all the same because we are like in the incarnation of energy source God. And from that space, we're all the same. But then we come to this lifetime and this game where we all have different missions. So that's where we create the difference when, like, our missions, which is our beliefs, don't align. And we're like, oh, I'm different than you because I have this belief. And, or, oh my gosh, like, we think the same. And, like, we totally get each other. And, like, I feel so connected to you because of this common belief system. So I think that's when it's like, I don't know if I'm explaining this very well, but, like, that's why we see ourselves sometimes as different, which is when our ego is trying to chime in and make us feel like we're more important or better than something or someone. Mm-hmm. And other times when we really feel connected to the highest vibration of energy, which is love, we feel the oneness, the sameness of creation, of a flower, of the sky, of another person, an animal, you know?
I love that. It's such an important thing that you say, though, too, because it's like we have this, like, I don't know, idea that everything has to be hard or everything has to be, you know, difficult, or, you know, we don't know what the next step to take is, or we don't know the next thing. But when you really break it down, it's that idea that we already all know everything that we need to know, but you just need to be able to tap into that part of knowing that you already know all the things that you need to know. You know what I mean?
We're just talking in code language for any of you guys listening.
I know. Does anyone, is anyone else listening right now? Or is it just me? No, I'm just kidding. No, I love it. But it's interesting that, she's traveling, everybody. She is traveling to a different part. Oh, I love it.
Hey.
Beautiful over there.
Sorry, there's someone talking, so
no, that's
I have a shared space. So we're gonna have a new view here.
Oh, hey, I love guys. It.
Yeah, so it's tapping into what you already know.
Mm-hmm. And
I love that.
It's so true. And I think that, it's so funny. I've been creating a new signature program, okay? And I was listening back to a recording of myself sort of like talking it out with somebody. And the entire time, I was like, well, I don't know. And like, just constantly was like, I don't know. And then when I was listening back to it, I was like, no, I actually know all the answers to these things, and just put this like barrier that I didn't know anything around it. You know what I mean? She's frozen again. Come back.
Connection. I heard some of that, not all of it.
Oh, that's okay. I paused for like a hot second because I was like, are you coming back though?
I'm here, guys. Time travel.
Literally. Oh my gosh. No, all I was saying was just that I was listening to this recording back of something that I was had been working through. And the entire time was just saying like, oh, I don't know. I don't know the answer to this. I don't know this. I don't know this. And I'm listening to it back. I'm like, no, you know all of the answers to all of these different things. And it's crazy how much like limitation we put on ourselves. It's crazy.
Yeah. I used to question every single thing I did and judge myself. Like, I would always seek out for help and advice and in a decision I made and not thinking I was smart enough and good enough. And it put so many restrictions on me. And it's crazy to think of just how much has changed from like the person I used to be in that place of like not thinking I knew the answers to now trusting that I have the answers to everything inside of me.
Exactly. I love that.
Yeah, it's cool. Like, we still go through, I still go through at times and I'm like, oh, I'm not smart enough. I don't know that. And it's like, no, like, you do. And from a place that you believe, you know, the answers will come.
Exactly. It's so true. Okay. If we think about energy in itself and balancing, you know, all of the different energy that we have, how can we balance our masculine energy with the feminine energy that we have? And how do they sort of both help each other?
Mm-hmm. I love this question. It's something that I've really been experimenting and exploring the last couple of months, really, really deep. I'm really like my main purpose right in this lifetime is really like my inner work and my spirituality. And so more recently, one of the things that I realized I had a gap in my business was an imbalance between my masculine and feminine energies. And we all have, and I'm coexisting with that, you know, if it doesn't matter if you're male or female, we all have a balance of the masculine and feminine. It's not like we're always in the masculine, always in the feminine, but society is most likely taught us as a woman to be more in the feminine and the man the more masculine. And for some of us, for survival purposes, like especially if you are like Simone and I, you may have come from the corporate world. I played more in the masculine because that's where I was able to see success and reward was that. So I was really disconnected from this feminine energy, which is creation. If you think of feminine women essentially have the ability to create. So that's the feminine energy. So creation, creativity, arts, intuition, like these are all traits of the feminine energy. Men, you think about a musician, artist, there's many artists who are men and they're tapping into their feminine energy. Mm. And then there's also the masculine energy. So that's more of the action oriented, the doing, the peaceful power. And so once again, we have both within us. And it's a fun journey playing with these energies. And it can be scary if you're not comfortable or used to it, but it's amazing when you can unlock these energies and dance with both of them simultaneously and for different tasks in your business and life.
I love that. That's so important because it's true. And like you have to be able to sort of know how to balance them, but also how to tap into each energy, because when you're living too much in one, the masculine side, for example, like it's the burnout, the exhaustion, like the, you know what I mean? And then you kind of end up in a place where because you haven't balanced your energy, because you're living so much in one, your intuitive side might suffer. Your connection to source might suffer. Your all of that side. And so it's such a true point. You have like living with them sort of in balance, like 50-50, I don't know, this is like the way I'm envisioning it, like 50-50 for like most of the time, and then like, you know, more into one if you're doing a specific thing, and then more into the other if you're doing something else. So like, how do you get them to coexist together? That's crazy.
Yes, it's a dance. I think it's always evolving too.
Yeah.
Like the prime example, I always like to like associate things back to relationships, and let's say like just for easy purposes, a platonic relationship or like very like male and female relationship, there's so much frustration and this imbalance or this like extreme overuse of one energy. So men being one the masculine and the female being really in the feminine, where they're constantly colliding. You think of how many people have broken up because like the woman's like, the man just doesn't understand me and he doesn't like just let me talk and like express my emotions and he's not open to sharing his feelings. And the man's like, well, she like sex is really boring and like we barely ever have sex and all she wants to do is talk. Like that's so common, and it's really just an imbalance of both, you know, like we're both asking for the other person, like because the woman's really tapped into her feminine, not as much masculine, she's asking to receive what she feels comfortable with and vice versa, versus both coming together and balancing those two and coming to them whole individually will then create a whole relationship together.
I love that. And when you think about it that way, it's like, how many relationships do we just go like let go and let slide just by having that imbalance and like living in not understanding and taking the time to communicate with someone, but also understanding ourselves on a different level. I think that like the soul work, I think it's everybody's responsibility to sort of tap into that and to heal all of those different parts. Like not everybody is always ready to do that, but you know, knowing that you can heal so much in so many relationships by stepping out of your ego and into your truth. I don't know. I don't really know how else to explain it, but.
And one of my like life missions and desire is how this relationship plays into business relationships too.
Mm-hmm.
And being in sales, it was a very male dominant industry where I worked in software sales. Most of the people that I was selling to were probably your father's age. It was 50, 60 year old white males typically. And it was like an old school business mentality, like the guys club. And I had to be all pretty in my suit and try to pitch to, you know, the very masculine type of entrepreneur, leader, executive. And there was such an imbalance in the, and there still is in the business world. It's really masculine driven still, and there is so much that's been done to be able to balance that out. But we have such a long way to go, and I think it really goes back to balancing the masculine and the feminine and restructuring the way business is ran. And this is why it's so many, like, there's so much distrust in business and sales because it's been very, like, masculine driven. Mm-hmm. And fear-based. And there's a big misunderstanding, like, between, like, you know, you look at executives, like, I don't even know the percentages anymore. I'd love to research that. But, like, I'm sure for, like, 70% of leadership still in Fortune 500 is men. And it's operating from, in like, a wounded masculine. And so it's just, it's, like, literally crashing in front of us, at least from my perspective of, like, what's happening in the economy and business and world is, yeah, there's just a big imbalance.
It's so true what you're saying, and especially in this time that we're living in right now, I think that a lot of the challenges that companies have experienced come more to light in this time because you see the parts that are broken and like what needs to be fixed. And also at the same time, you see all of these people who have dedicated years to their jobs, let's say, being let go from those jobs and then being like, what the fuck am I going to do with myself? You know what I mean? Yeah. And then stepping into their journey of self-discovery and then knowing that they have the power to be, you know, an entrepreneur. And it's interesting, even when you say the word entrepreneur, I always used to get this like thought in my mind of when you say entrepreneur and what that means. And for me, it was always like, go, 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 work hard. You have to have the innovative idea. You have to do this, this, this. But for me and my business, and maybe you can relate, like it doesn't feel like go, go, go.
No.
Nitty gritty, like get down, do work. And like some days have to be like that. Like some days you have to, you know, maybe put on the hat and make the decisions. But for the most part, it's living in that flow and that trust of like, you know, that you're going to have the business that you want, in the way that you want to have it. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be this thing that's only a specific way because other people have said it has to be that way.
Yep.
Like you're saying with sales, like from a heart-centered way. And so it doesn't feel icky. It doesn't feel stingy. Like it doesn't feel like you're getting a bad deal. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How have you changed like the conversation around sales for yourself, but also for your clients?
And what was the question?
Oh, how have you changed the conversation around sales for yourself, like internally, but also for your clients?
That's a good one. So for myself, the conversation, I think it starts with our beliefs and our mindset. And I am so grateful for my journey of being trained in the very, I mean, I got amazing training. Like I was just talking to my boyfriend about my experiences as in software sales and just, it was really, really strict. And it was exactly what you described as go, go, go. Like when you think about entrepreneur, like in sales, you are kind of operating autonomously. And as an entrepreneur, you are your book of business. You will go out and do all the things. And it was like the typical, I don't know if you guys have heard of Gary Vee. And I love some of his concepts. And I studied him. And also, oh my gosh, why am I forgetting his? Grant Cardone, 10X, like he's another sales real estate entrepreneur. Like I studied all of these like men that were leading the pack and the industry as influencers. And this is a way to make success. And it was all based on like action, 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 keep pushing. Like, and this is how I was taught in sales is like every no is one step closer to a yes. And persistence always wins. And it does. I've seen that work. But the difference is like, how you feel like being in flow or alignment and not, and it, you can reach success, but at the sacrifice of what?
Oh, and
I've seen so many people's families and marriages and all these things not be ideal and in like failures, if you want to put it that way.
But I don't, you're so politically correct. I was like falling apart.
Falling apart. Like, yeah, like literally they focus so much on like action oriented and maximizing their day and time in order to reach success and money that other things fall apart. Exactly. And so for me, I had to do a lot of like restructuring of my mindset and my beliefs around sales personally. And it was like
it was hard because I saw all this money success through the ways that I was taught that I'm like, oh, there's no other way. Until one of my purposes was to understand and redefine what sales was. And I was able to start experimenting on the side, using manifestation, energy, and feeling and flow, and realizing that I didn't have to work as much in order to get the outcomes I was desiring. And so, yeah, that was like how I like taught myself and redefined sales for myself. And then that's exactly what I do with my clients, is really working with energy and the universe versus trying to take control and thinking that that I have to do more in order to succeed.
Mm-hmm. I love that you said that, because that's something that I see a lot of on Instagram and a lot of online, because you kind of have your people who are like more of the spiritual side, then you have people who aren't, and you operate your businesses differently. And I remember, I'll never forget, I remember posting this thing online that when you're, it was to my Instagram, essentially along the lines of like, when you're living in alignment, like it gets to be fun. It gets to be, you know, in flow. It gets to be exciting. It gets to be aligned, all of those things. And then not 2 seconds later, did I see someone else post something like, I don't understand how all these coaches say they don't work hard. Like, and for me in my business, it's about working hard. And I was like, oh my God, I'm like, maybe I have it all wrong. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, I don't know. So I second guessed myself completely in everything that I was saying. But then I thought about it. I'm like, no, just because I'm not slaving away 14 hours a day working on my business doesn't mean that I don't work hard. You know what I mean? There's a difference. Yeah. Like, you can work in flow and in alignment and still work hard.
Yeah.
Without having all of the burnout that it takes to, you know, get your, I don't know. I'm liking your dance right now.
So it's like, yes, yes, yes. I believe it. And there's no right way.
No.
You could choose the working really hard and put 14 hours a day. And if you believe that's what it takes, that will be the outcome. Mm-hmm. But if you believe you can be like Tim Ferriss and do a 4-hour work week and get the same results, you will get that as your outcome. Yeah. Like, which do you choose, dude? I've done both, so I've seen both sides. Exactly. Working hard is, yeah, it's great, and you win a lot, and you also feel like, I got sick so much, like literally I would get sick like every like 4 or 5 months.
Oh my
because
God.
I would burn myself out physically and emotionally, and yeah, it wasn't fun. So for me, I'd rather take the more self-loving an honoring path. And yeah, I think it's really like our beliefs create our reality. Like, if you want to believe it, then that's what you will see in your world.
Totally. Do you think that you could one day, maybe far from now, do you think that you could ever go back to the corporate world and doing sales in the mindset that you have now?
I thought about this. This is a cool question. I'm not sure if it's my calling, but one thing that's come up quite a bit is to be able to not be in that world, but to go back to it and be a consultant and an advisor and a coach to show people a different way. Yeah.
I love that.
And I think it's still a triggering environment for me. I haven't really gone through that healing process completely, but whenever I do talk to like some people in the corporate world, and especially men, who have had a lot of success in the really traditional way of business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a little frustrating for me because I've seen, you know, just the way people are treated and like how like money rules everything and whatever else, success and its kindness. But to answer your question, I think so. And I'd actually be really curious to test it out. Like, I've thought about that. Like, what if I like went back to the role I was in before, knowing what I know now, what would happen?
It's crazy. It's so crazy. And I think that it's really interesting because it's like, it's that bridge between your, and I think that this is like, I think that this might be a thing that people sort of battle with, because if you are in a corporate job, you are in a 9-to-5, you are in a sales role, you're working a million hours. It's kind of like one side of you maybe wants to like love on and tap into that spiritual side. And then the other side is like, oh, but I got to go and grind out every single day. You know what I mean? And so it's like, where do you mesh the two together and how? And that's, I think, the key is like, you know, being so solid in your spiritual self.
Yeah.
And then stepping into your job and being able to put those boundaries because it's your life. You know what I mean?
Yes. Like,
to live it the way that you want to live it.
Yes. And it was a process for me. So even when I, back in October 2019 is when I left, like October 1st was the first day of me being a full-time entrepreneur. Before that, a year prior, I was working in a software sales job, working 40, 50 hours and building my business and doing my spiritual practices and going on my own enlightenment awakening. And so I started to integrate my spiritual beliefs, law of attraction, manifestation, energy, gratitude into my sales calls. And it totally changed the game for me.
This is your corporate job.
Yeah, in sales. But before I left, I started playing around with it. And that's why it led me to developing what I do now, is I experimented with it in real businesses with Fortune 500 executives. I was using spiritual hacks on them and talking about energy and sending them love, visualizing before a call, them saying yes and closing the deal and for how much, manifesting those things. And I noticed I was selling more than one of my coworkers who was working twice as hard as me.
Wow.
I literally didn't do much and I hit quota and it was just me like I did my work, but everything just came so naturally to me and I was like, oh, this stuff really works. Great. I don't have to work as hard.
I am leaving.
And now that I proved to myself I can do this in a different way, I'm going to leave. Yes.
Oh my God. I love that so much. Oh, this is such a fun conversation. I love how you bring in energy, spirituality, but also business and helping other people grow all of those sides to them as well. It's amazing. What's sort of coming up next for you? Is there anything that you feel like sharing? Anything that, you know, you're working on that might be a secret that you might want to share? This is coming out in June-ish or July.
Okay. A lot could happen between then and now. And this is the whole, the surrendering. So a lot has been coming up for me through my meditations and signs through me. I think one of the things is moving. I know that I'm still working with like business and spirituality.
Wait, hold on. But moving to where? Moving to where? I missed, you cut out.
Central America.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I think that that's a part of my evolution. I've also been called to collaborate with a lot of bigger influencers. So I've been reaching out to people that are, you know, have the little blue check mark on their Instagram and collaborating with them and really focusing more on not just women, but all beings, helping them get their business started and to enlighten and raise the vibration and the consciousness of the collective. So for me, my vision has expanded. I am still supporting my clients one-on-one and group coaching, but my reach and my vision is getting bigger and a lot of collaborations are happening now at a larger scale. And I think I desire and I feel like my message is going to be reaching more people. My following is expanding and my services are changing. And because of that expansion, my services are changing away from more one-on-one and more into larger impact, into groups, collective, masterminds, things like that.
Oh, I love that. I'm so excited to see what's to come.
That's awesome. Me too. So we'll see.
So, I know in July it's going to be like, and I've moved and I live somewhere else. Like, who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? That's the fun part. I don't know. And I'm excited about that.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, Becca, this is my last question for you. And it's a question that I ask all my guests when they come on the show. And it is, how can someone create happiness in their day every day starting today?
Happiness happens.
Literally, my tagline. Really, that's it. Okay, we're done. No.
I just instantly thought about your t-shirts and the first time you got them printed.
Oh, I love those little things. I normally wear them when I'm on my episodes and I'm like, I haven't asked happens. But I didn't. I got to dig it out from my
group. Oh, yeah. Let's see. Happiness. How do you create more happiness in your day? So one thing that's been a life game changer for me is dropping expectations and setting intentions every single day and as often as you can. And when you're eating, when you're walking, when you're working out, when you're meditating, anything. Intentions equal direction. And through having intentions for what you desire and really letting go of all the expectations of what should and could and whatever, coulda, woulda, shoulda, you're always happy because you have no expectations. And everything's amazing from that point.
I love that. That's so good. It's hard to do. It's hard to do. But with, when you know how, it's really, really, really good. Oh, I love that. Okay, where can our listeners find you?
I hang out on Instagram the most, at Becca Komar, BekahKomar. You can DM me, comment, follow. Also, I am putting more energy into YouTube. It's a new friend of mine, old new friend, and old Becca new. Komar as well on there. I'm really not hanging out on Facebook much. Sorry, guys. And TikTok, we talked about this in our call. Yeah, I feel like a grandma there. So Instagram and YouTube, that's where you can find me, guys. Or you can email me.
I love that. After our call, I went and I made a TikTok, and that was the last one that I made. The end. Like, I was like, no. I feel like unless you're chugging a bottle of wine and like making fun that you shouldn't be on that platform because you're too old. Like, I don't really, you know what I mean? I don't know.
I just got a vision of like you and your grandma drinking wine and making pasta and making a TikTok.
She won't.
Why?
She won't come online. I'm trying to get her on the podcast too. She won't come.
Well,
just saying, keep visualizing. Maybe it'll happen. Yes. I love it. Thank you so much, Becca, for being on the show today. This was so fun.
Thank you, Simona. I always have fun talking to you. And you guys got a little taste of how ridiculous and how much fun we have working with each other.
Literally. I feel like I always say this every single time, but I feel like Becca is that like long lost best friend. She might not feel the same, but like, I feel that, okay, long lost best friend. I'm like, this is like when the needy friend comes in and you're like, hi. Like.
Do you feel so sure? Like, I don't know.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, I was just kidding. I didn't mean it. No, I'm kidding. But no, every time we talk, like, I just feel like I'm talking to someone who's, we're just so connected in this way and I can't explain it. And we've never met in person and I hope we do one day, but I know, but it feels like I already know you so that it, you know, anyways. So thank you so much for being on the show. This was,
I feel that way too.
Oh, yay. I love it. And thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to today's episode. I hope you loved it as much as I did, and I hope you have a wonderful week. Stay tuned for next week's episode. It's going to be so fun, but let us know what you love about this one. Let us know your favorite part, and just tag us if you're listening. We would love to know. So remember this week that happiness happens when you're least expecting it.
Thanks so much for being here today. I hope these words have brought you inspiration, insight, and a bit more happiness. Please leave a comment or a review if this episode resonates with you. I would be so grateful. Until next time, remember that happiness happens when you're least expecting it.